What a privilege to be here. Great celebration. This is unusual. Not many churches make it this far. In this day and age, it's sad, but it's true. Amen. But thank God you did. Amen. Thank God for your pastor and his wife and the leadership here. Those faithful soldiers that have been here for the duration. I was talking to one here earlier, and the Lord told me to pray for him, so I can't go any further until we do that. I'm asking you for your faith, because I'm not a fan of asthma, because I was an asthmatic child, spent a lot of my child in oxygen tents growing up. A lot of it was self-inflicted because I kept falling in what they call Oil Creek, because I'd float ice in the wintertime. See, I am a redneck, brother, all right? Amen. But I did not like asthma, and God healed me of it. And I know that healing's the children's bread, and he's no respecter of persons. He'll do for you. That's right, brother. So I'm just going to ask you all to stretch out your hands towards this precious brother in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you right now. Asthma cannot stay in the temple of the Holy Spirit. I thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ for the release of our faith together as one. We call him healed and well, delivered. The spirit cannot stay. The stress, the anxiety, the pressure that he's underneath cannot stay. Lord God, I release the peace, the shalom of God upon my brother. I thank you for the refreshing of your presence. I thank you for the breath, the fresh air of the winds of God to come upon him in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. The other thing, there's a couple over here. I ask you to stretch your hands out towards them. I'm going to pick on them just a bit because the Lord told me to. That's the only reason I do stuff, because I look kind of foolish doing stuff that he didn't tell me to do. See, if it isn't the anointing, then we're all in trouble, all right? God said, I want you to take the key, son. I want you to unlock the gifts that are within them. And one of the things that you have to understand is the Bible says desire the best gifts. And in certain cases, that's different things for certain people and certain ministry gifts. You understand that, I believe. Understand it's always the way love. We know that. I know you do. But there's a gift that I don't know if you've been desiring this or not, but the Lord told me it's going to be vital and important for both of you to flow in it so that you'll have confirmation together as one, because two became one day. You understand that? And let no man separate what God has put together. That gift is the gift of discerning of spirits. There are things that you're going to have to discern in the season of time that lies ahead of you as ministry gifts, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, that you're going to have to tap into by the desire that you have, by what's taking place even here this morning. He's going to unlock that, and you're going to start to experience it more than you ever have before. All of a sudden, you're going to know things, and you're going to see things. All of a sudden, even the hidden things that are behind in the motive realm, in the motive realm of what people will try to say, but their intentions are totally different by the spirits that are motivating people at times other than the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be able to discern that. There'll be times you can't do a thing about it, but there'll be other times you stand in your authority and you break that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden you'll see hearts melt, you'll see people change, and you'll see people repent. And what'll take place is the angelic realm is going to become real and tangible to you too. And what I mean by that is he's given his angels charge over you to protect you and keep you in all your ways. You're aware of that. But he's also sent ministering spirits to minister for, are you with me, for the heirs of salvation, which you qualify, and you know that. But those people that you'll minister to, they also qualify. So for you to call when you see, when you know, don't let your angels just sit around and be idle. Utilize what God's given you, and there's more to come, saith the Lord. Give me your hands. Stretch out your hands, church, please. Father, I thank you for the key that we can unlock. Things that have been closed up, doors that have been closed. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we unlock the gifts of the Spirit to flow, to operate to a higher level than they ever have before upon this amazing couple. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in them. I thank you for what will be done in them in the future. And Lord, I thank you for the gift of discerning the spirits that will flow and operate because it's unlocked today in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for confirmation between them because the communication line is going to change and it's going to shift and it's going to go to a higher level in communication, even in the busyness of time, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, happy anniversary. Is it okay? Is it okay to have fun today? Amen. I heard we're having dinner. Amen. I'll tell my wife that I'll have prime rib for Thanksgiving because I've already had turkey. Amen. You gotta work your plan. Amen. 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 I'd like you to open up your Bibles, if you would, please. Last night, some of you were here, some weren't. And the one scripture passage I can't get away from, and I just want to bring it back to light, encourage you with that this morning, if that's all right, if you just pray with me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you the entrance of your word will bring light, illumination, will bring the instruction, will bring the revelation to a greater depth in the hearts of each and every one here. And Lord, I bless you for them in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Isaiah chapter 60. This is not my text. This is not what I'm preaching on this morning. But I felt like I need to release it in the airways again. I need to bring you back to this passage of Scripture. I believe you're all well aware of it. If you're not, you will be. Can you say amen? It says, "Rise, shine, for the light is come." And the Lord said, "The light is come upon this house. The glory of the Lord is risen upon this house. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people." We understand that. We live in that day. "But the Lord shall arise upon this house, and his glory shall be seen upon this house." One of the manifestations of the glory of God is they couldn't stand up in the presence of the Lord. One of the manifestations of the glory of God is when Jesus turned the water into wine. Another manifestation that took place is when Lazarus was raised from the dead. When I talk about the glory of God, I'm talking about the presence of God and the tangible presence of the Lord. When God unveils himself and you see his character, his nature, his power. Another manifestation was when the Queen of Sheba went in to Solomon's temple. She lost her breath. She passed out. Why? Because the glory of God was there. It was talking about the wealth of God. Boy, it's quiet here in this house. So don't underestimate the manifestation of God's glory upon your life personally. And the life corporately as a body. So I want you to look at verse 3. It says, "The Gentiles shall come to thy light." Light meaning there's a revelation here that has been flowing. This morning I got to experience the level of what's going on just in your Sunday school room. I'm encouraged with that. I know that's taken place, but I want you to understand that is one of the vital factors of this house. Don't drop that. He says, "The Gentiles shall come to thy light, the kings of the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thy eyes round about and see. They gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar. Thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side." I believe there's backsliders coming back home. I think I told you that last night. I believe there's people that have been away that are coming back. He says here in verse 5, he says, then shall thou see flow together, thy heart shall fear. And that word fear means to stand in awe. Wow, that's cool, God. Can you say that? Wow, that's cool, God. Amen. Get used to that. I'm telling you, you get used to it. Expect it. It says, and be enlarged. That means to be broadened, to be expanded. He says, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the forces, or other terminology there, would be the provision. It also means the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to thee. Say, I believe it. I believe we receive it. Thank you, Lord. Your ministering spirits are going forth and causing it to come. Thank you, Lord. Can you shout amen? Now, this is an awakening hour we live in. I believe you're all aware of that. Some of you have been stirred up. Some of you have been shaken. Some of you have had to leave maybe comfortable places where you've been in the past. Some of you have experienced extreme hunger for the things of God that maybe you weren't experiencing a while back. Some of you have understood, your eyes have been opened up, you've seen some things, and you're thinking, you know what, I've got to change. The cool thing is, none of us are too old to change. If John the Baptist was here this morning, he'd call it repentance. I'm not seeker friendly, but I'm trying to be nice to you. It's your anniversary, all right? So, in this awakening, it's for each one of us, especially me, all right? So, you know, don't think I'm picking on you, all right? So, I don't want you to say, oh, dear God, he beat us up this morning. That's not never my intention. My intention is to see you grow up and to become stronger and stronger each and every day. To see you be the church, the house of God, the man and woman of God, the family of God, the children of God that will populate heaven and plunder hell, that will not allow any devil, any deception, any doubt and unbelief to ever control you, that you will stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, that you'll be strengthened each and every day by the Spirit of God, that you'll be filled, you'll be flooded by His presence, by His power, that you'll learn to how to live in the abundance of His provision, that you will come to know that you live and abide underneath the shadow of the Almighty, that you understand the words that you speak are very powerful, and you understand how to declare and decree a thing so that things take place and things happen the way God plans them, that you learn how to say and call things that be not as though they were, and as you speak, you understand that you can speak to this mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea, not doubt it in your heart, but believe the things that you say will come to pass, that you can have what you say. The problem is we all are experiencing what we've been saying. Hallelujah. Maybe you like that, maybe you don't, and if you don't, change. If John was here, he'd say repent. So, what I'm saying is, I want you, as I minister this, by the grace of God, and I believe by the compassionate one, the Holy Spirit, that I want you to check yourself. Not to sit there and think about your husband or your wife or your kids or somebody else and try to evaluate them right now. I want you to do it here. Make certain this is good with this. Because it's vital. It's very, very vital for every one of us. So evaluation on our part for this season that's ahead. Aren't you glad last season's over? Shout hallelujah. Amen. You made it, church. Glory to God, you made it. Hallelujah. The sea was separated. Some of you went through the fire, and the fire, you come out, you don't even smell like smoke this morning. I'm proud of you. Amen. So Luke chapter 10, we'll start there. Luke 10, this is a passage I'm certain you're quite familiar with. This is about two sisters. Verse 38, he says, Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also, I want you to look at this term here, sat at Jesus' feet. I got to experience many of you sitting at the feet of the Lord this morning as Pastor brought forth the word and taught. I see you here this morning. You're sitting at the feet of the word of God, expecting to receive from the Lord. Is that right? So I don't want you to take this in any bit of condemnation. But what I want you to see is there's people that aren't here that belong here. I don't know whose feet they're sitting at. But there's only one place for you and I to sit and to encourage our brothers and sisters to learn how to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I talk about him, I talk about in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We do not separate him from his Word. Is that correct? He says here, he says, and she heard the Word. Say that with me. I hear the Word of the Lord. So now he says, but Martha was cumbered about. Say cumbered about. That word means she was drawn around. I know that's none of you here. That's probably the church down the street. Or dragged away. Or to be distracted. Or to be driven about mentally. I know I'm probably the only one in here that's ever sat in a service, didn't hear a darn thing that was going on because my mind was so busy and I was somewhere else. My body was sitting there, but Bob was gone. Now, none of you have ever experienced that, but there are people like me that actually are experiencing that and they need you to help them. Can you say amen? So, what I want you to see is this cumbered about with much on our plate can be a bad thing. I'm not telling you not to clean your house, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not telling you not to do the chores and not to be responsible to do the things that are practical in life. I am not saying that. I'm not telling you if you don't work, don't eat. That's what I'm telling you right now. Because why? We're called to work. Can you say amen? We were created to do good works. But there's a time and there's a season for every one of us to understand. It's called seek ye first. When? First. Seek first the kingdom, his way of doing things, and the things that belong to you will come to you. Is that right? So as we understand that principle, he says, but Martha was cumbered about. She was distracted. She was overoccupied. I believe we live in a day and a generation that right now there's so much busyness, so much distraction, so much cumbered aboutness that is going on in the lives of most people that people put Jesus Christ aside. I'm talking more than just our Sunday go to meetings. I'm talking more than our Bible studies in fellowship. I'm talking about my intimacy with him. I'm talking about my personal commitment to the Word and to the presence. I'm talking about living a life that is real in a Christian aspect, and it isn't a show to see how dressed up we can get and come to church and put a show on for people. I know that's none of you. Say amen. But you know, there are some people that is exactly what their Christianity is all about. They are not real. So therefore, they're going to be exposed in the days that lie ahead because what's in darkness is going to become in light. So as we look at this, I want you to see this. Martha was cumbered about with much serving, came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? In other words, I need some help. Do something about this, Jesus. He bid her, therefore, that she should help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, whenever he repeats your name twice, you know you're in trouble. Martha, Martha, Thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now, I know that's never been you, correct? Say hallelujah. He says, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part. He says, it shall not be taken away from her. Now, I know you all know that passage of Scripture. I know that there's you probably all of us have probably lived on both sides. We've been a Martha or we've been a Mary. I want you to know the season that's ahead, we've got to understand that it's vital that we rest at His feet, that we learn how to rest. We sang a song, I'm resting in the promises. That we learn how to make the devil nervous so he overplays his hand, because it's through faith and patience you'll inherit the promises. And I want you to know one thing, that the patience of God will make the devil nervous and you'll always overplay his hand so that you can put him under your feet exactly where he belongs. Can you shout amen? So now, go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. You ever hear this passage of Scripture? The Lord told me, he says, I want you to let my people know that I'm going to awaken them to hear me on a higher level than they ever have before. That's exactly what's taking place right here in this room today. He's going to quicken you to hear. But the responsibility is going to rest upon you to do what you hear. See, if we are just hearers, not doers, we're self-deceived, correct? Thank God that's not us. Amen? So Deuteronomy chapter 28, it says, and it shall come to pass, verse 1, if thou shalt hearken, how? Does that mean once in a while? Does that mean when I'm in the mood? Does that mean even when I don't feel like it? Yeah. To hearken diligently unto the what? So that's the living word of God, the alive, the rhema of God. God wants you to hear his voice. His sheep can be are called to hear the voice of the Lord. We're called to be led by the Spirit, to be in intimacy, to have total fellowship, total communion. We're not to be deceived and listen to the voices that are around us. We're all to be able to tune into the frequency of the heart and of the voice of the Lord. Is that correct? He says, I want you to hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Why? So you can observe what he's saying. And you can do the commandments which he's given you. He says that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations, above all people of the earth. God's elevating this house. And he wants to elevate each and every one. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if, say if. So if I don't, I'm in trouble. But if I do, I get blessed. So he says, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, I know most of you know this passage of Scripture. If you don't, I encourage you to take it home, study it out, read it, meditate on it, and get those from off the page into the heart. But I want you to focus on what I see is verse 6 that I wanted to bring into the limelight for you. So those that hear, hearkenly, diligently listen to the voice of the Lord to do what he's saying and to carry out his commands in the earth. Understand, verse 6, I believe, is a promise to all of us, but I really believe that God wants you as you celebrate to see that these promises belong to you and he's faithful to carry them through. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. God said there's going to be a lot of coming and going from this house. There's nations that need you. They're going to need the men and women that are raised up here. They're going to need the young people that are going to take positions of grace and stand in offices of ministry. as well as entrepreneurs that will be raised up here. He says, blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause, now this ought to make you shout, thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They'll come out against thee one way, and they'll have to flee seven. You got the devil on the run, church. Hallelujah. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy, say, storehouses. If you don't have one, you need to have one. Some of you might need to go open up an extra bank account. You just take that or leave it. I hope you take it. The Lord shall command thy blessing upon thy storehouses, and then also in all that thou settest thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land that the Lord thy God has given you. Now here's a promise out of the Amplified Bible that you can say yes and amen to, because when I start speaking scripture to you about hearing his voice, I want you to understand that he will bring it to pass if you will yield to what he's doing. If you don't yield to him, then don't expect much. Okay? So Jeremiah 1:12, most of you know it. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. It's a little bit different. Then said the Lord unto me, you have seen well. For I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. Say, I have seen well. God, my Father, he's alert and active. He's watching over his word to bring it to pass, to perform it in my life. Hallelujah. Now, with knowing that, which I assume you do, with understanding that to some degree, that God's word will not return unto him void, but it'll accomplish that what he pleases, and it'll prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. And he's sending it into your heart, into your life, on a continual basis, because you've taken the time every day to set at the feet of Jesus, correct? All right. So, in Proverbs 20, verse 11, it says, even a child is known by his doing. I heard the pastor say that you guys really like kids here. Amen. I'm glad to hear that. Amen. Because one day they'll be leading. Amen. You better love them now. All right. Amen. Encourage them now. Raise them up now. Raise them up right. He says, even a child is known by his doing, whether his work is pure or whether it is right. And then verse 12 is what I want you to see. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made both of them. He has given every one of us here, every one of his children, a hearing ear and a seeing eye for the things of the Spirit. Don't think you're an exception to the rule, all right? I'm here to tell you, he's not a respecter of persons. He's giving you a hearing ear and a seeing eye. Do not let the devil distract you from that. Don't you start talking negative with your mouth and saying, I don't ever hear the Lord. I don't see what he's doing. Shut up if you have to. What I'm saying is, you know, duct tape works real well on our mouths if we don't know how to control them. So what I want you to see here, it says, even a child's known by his doing, whether his work is pure, whether it is right, the hearing ear, the seeing eye, the Lord hath made both of them. My prayer for you, for this house, for the season that lies ahead of you, is that your hearts would be quickened or awakened, that your ears would become sensitized, and that your eyes would become enlightened for the understanding of the Word to a higher level, a higher degree, a deeper depth, as well as the leading of the Holy Spirit into your individual lives, in your families, in your businesses, as well as in the church as a whole. Will you agree with that prayer? So, Jesus said this in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. I know that, you know, a lot of evangelists would use this to let sinners know that God's knocking on their door, but really in the text, he's talking to us. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." I like the Amplified here. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears and listens to and heeds my voice and opens the door." "I will come to him, will eat with him, and he will eat with me." You know, there's things that take place when we're supping with the Lord, when we're having that kind of fellowship with him. And one of the things I've come to the conclusion of is when he speaks, keep my mouth shut. Just keep chewing, Bob. Can you say amen? It's not polite to talk with your mouth full. Is that right, young people? Yeah. So what we have to understand is when we are supping with him, you remember words like this: "Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." There are things for the season ahead of this house, ahead of you as individuals, that you haven't been ready for. But when he's knocking and you open, you're going to see the release of the things for this day and this hour, the hidden things, the secret things, the mystical things that maybe you couldn't understand before. Because why? This is the season for the depth of the revelation for the children of God to walk in the fullness of the blessing of the Lord. "But to whom much is given, much will be required." Can you shout amen? So as you look at this, I want you to see, I remember raising my children. They're adults now. But I could look at my son, he's the eldest, and, you know, he knew he was in trouble. And he would go through the motions of repentance, but didn't repent. But he was a good actor. Now, I know there's nobody here like that. My daughter was the opposite. She would defy us. She was very strong-willed. I don't know if you're allowed to do this in this day and this age, but she had a backside, and it got smacked a few times, quite often. And what I seen was when she did repent, it was genuine and real. It wasn't lip service. Some of it took some disciplining on our part, some correction on our part, to get her to yield to the truth. Okay, I'll just say that, to the truth. Because why? It was our job as parents, the way it is with you folks, to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, so when they're old, that they won't run from it, they'll run to them. Now, as we understand that as a church, we have to understand that we could be the same way. Do you ever notice the fruit didn't fall too far from the tree? Some of you parents, have you ever looked at your kids and say, whoa, I don't know if I like that in them? And then you look in the mirror and say, I see why that's in them. It's time to run to Him. Amen. So in the stubbornness that we seen, we didn't want to break her spirit, but we knew we had to bring correction to her. So that, and she's an amazing young lady today, a wonderful mother. But also, in his case, I had to discern when he really did repent, or if he was just telling me what he knew Dad wanted to hear or Mom wanted to hear. Now, when you hear the voice of the Lord, you are diligently requiring of yourself to discipline yourself to hear Him, because He's speaking, because you have an ear to hear and you have an eye to see, because He's given that to each one of us, right? Understanding that His sheep hear His voice, we don't have to listen to a stranger. We get to listen to the Lord. The best time that you can do that is when you separate yourself and you rest at His feet. You have to move away sometimes from confusion. You have to move away sometimes from people that fill the atmosphere with clutter, with doubt and unbelief. There's times. But you can discipline yourself that you can hear Him in the midst of the greatest confusion. In the biggest storms of life, you can still stand in the midst of the storm and hear the voice of the Lord. See, that's the place that He's trying to bring every one of us. Where we are so tuned in to the frequency of His voice in our life, of the leadership of the Holy Spirit, so that we stay on course and we don't fluctuate from one way to the other day by day. And no matter what comes to planet Earth, no matter what goes through and hits America, understand that the church has got to be the stability of this nation. And the reason that's going to be is because His sheep hear His voice. They're led by His Spirit. That wisdom and knowledge is the stability of thy times, and the fear of the Lord is thy treasure forevermore. Now, because I believe that you know that as a church, I just want to encourage you with this. He says, I stand at the door and I knock on the hearts of my people. I want them to hear my voice. I want them to hear the depth, to the cry, to the concern, to the purposes, and to my will individually. He says, I need them to open the door more than they have before. I need them to become more flexible in their timing of fellowship with me than what they used to be in yesterday's gone by. He says, I will come to them in ways that they've never experienced. There will be times that I'll bring them into my bosom and pour my heart into them, pour my life into them, pour refreshing into them, pour strength into them, pour wisdom into them. I will give them of the breath of what I breathe myself, saith God, and they will become refreshed in that presence, and they will tap into grace like they've never seen before, so that they can walk worthy of me and be fully pleasing unto the things that I have ahead for them. When I hear, I'll use the simplicity of this. I would instruct my son at times, or my daughter at times when they were growing up, could you do this when we get home? You know, I'd usually treat them, reward them. Do you hear me? And then I'd come back, and not all the time, but there'd be times it's like, I thought you heard me. What'd you say? See, they give me lip service, but they didn't carry it out with action. God's looking for action. Do you know faith without works is dead? When the word comes, you got faith to operate in the word. If you embrace it, you receive it, in order to do it. Now, you might have to spend time at his feet to get understanding on what he said. I understand that, and you do too. But there's things that I believe he's going to start speaking to the hearts of his church, this house included, that are going to take immediate action, because there's only going to be open doors in certain things that are going to be very small in the course of time. And what I mean by that is, example, if you're a, probably there's some hunters in here. And if you're standing in a row, like a telephone pole row or whatever you call it, a clearing in the woods, and there's people chasing deer. Do you guys ever deer hunt? Does it happen down this way? All right. And what you're standing there, and you know that you got one shot, because when that buck crosses that clearing, you got one shot, or it's over, because the woods is thick on both sides. So you got to be ready. You got to be instant in season, so when he's there, you're ready and you shoot. I don't know about you, I've missed a few. I don't hunt anymore. That's probably why. I probably missed too many. But what I'm saying is, I believe it's going to be the same way in the spirit in certain cases, not every case, but in certain cases in the lives of God's people, where there's going to be an opening and he's going to ask you to be swift to move. He's going to ask you for total submission and obedience to do at that given moment of time. You won't have time to process it, to think about it, but what's going to happen is, because you've spent the time at his feet, you're already prepared to move and put action to the thoughts of God, to the word of God, to the voice of the Lord. So that, why? You're not sitting around wondering, what am I supposed to do? You're going to know what to do because you've gone somewhere in the spirit at the base of his feet, and he's taken you there, and you've already seen what you're to do before you have to do it. That's called the spirit of seeing and knowing. That's part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in every one of our lives, but we've got to open it up. I give you a testimony. I was pastoring in West Virginia. I had another pastor come down, and a friend of his, and they come down to hunt, and I said, well, I'll just push deer to you, because I bought a license. A friend, a guy that was in the church, he had 100 and some acres, and so we went to there, and we got them set up in their tree stands or wherever they're at, and I knew where to drive the deer to them. I love to walk in the woods. I love to move, and all of a sudden, I was meditating on the spirit of seeing and knowing. I was meditating on, God, I want to see things before they happen so I know what to do before I get there. Are you with me? So I'm not thinking it's going to happen in the practical sense of deer hunting. And I'm not, I mean, I had a gun, but I did not want to shoot a deer. I used to be a meat cutter. I did not want to cut another deer up. All right? So what I'm telling you is, I'm sitting there. I know it's getting light. And all of a sudden, I go to the motion pictures, and I'm seeing this big buck jump out from under behind this tree, stand there, look at me, and he's going to head towards my friend who's up on the hill. I knew I wasn't to shoot him, because this brother never got a deer before, and he was in his 40s. Now, I seen it, and I'm thinking, did I just see what I think I seen? Now, understand, I'm meditating on the spirit of seeing and knowing, expecting to see things in the spirit, but I'm not thinking he's going to show me deer. I want to see miracles. I want to see the dead raised. Hallelujah. I want to see blind eyes open. I want to see nations evangelized. Are you with me? But he knew right where I was. I was out in the woods with a gun, going to chase deer to my friends. And my heart was, I want my buddy to get a deer. I want to see his face on his first deer. So God takes me to the motion pictures. I see it. Example, 5 minutes later, when it's light enough to step out, exactly. It wasn't three steps. And all of a sudden, I just seen exactly what he showed me. Now, that's pretty practical. And then about 3 minutes later, I hear boom, boom. And when I got there, he had the brightest smile on his face. He didn't have a clue how to clean it, though. That was the problem. Yeah, back to the knife. But what I want to encourage you is you personally can tune in to start seeing things that are about to happen so that you can be ready when you hear the voice of the Lord. You can move quickly and accomplish much in little time. Does that make sense to you? In Proverbs or Psalm 24, I need to go quickly here. What time is it? Wow, it's almost dinner time. I see them young faces smiling. Hallelujah. Bring the turkey on. Psalm 24. You know what? I'm going to ask you to go and meditate in Psalm 24, each one of you, if you would, please. I want to get to something that I believe that the Lord wanted me to share with you. Psalm 85, he says, I will hear what the Lord God will speak, for he shall speak peace unto his people, unto his saints, but let them not return unto folly, King James, basically meaning stupidity, meaning want of understanding, or it could mean sin. I will hear what the Lord will speak. Say that with me. I will hear what the Lord will speak. See, you can have what you say, church. I want you to say, I will hear what the Lord speaks to me. See, I want you to cement and receive understanding that you have every right to hear his voice continually on a consistent manner. Proverbs 4:1 says, hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to understanding. Proverbs 4:10 says, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Proverbs 5:7 says, hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Proverbs 8:6 says, hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. I like Proverbs 4. It delivered me up out of the hospital. It healed my back. It defied everything the doctor said was going to happen. God spoke it to me supernaturally. I didn't even know it was in the Bible at that time. I was a new Christian. He said, my son, attend unto my words, incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life unto those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. The Message Bible says this, dear friends, listen well to my words. Tune your ears to my voice. I like that. Tune your ears, Bob, to the voice of the Lord. Nobody can do that for me no more than they can do it for you. You have to be the one who tunes in to the frequency of the voice of the Lord. The prayer that I want to pray for you, because I'm out of time, is you're going to find it in Psalm 143. I like to pray the word. I believe you do too. Because I believe we just read where he will perform his word. His word will not return void. It'll accomplish what he pleases. So when I pray for the church, I like to pray either in the spirit or I like to pray the word of God upon them, for them. In Psalm 143, the psalmist says here in verse 8, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Sounds like, seek ye first the kingdom of God. When? In this case, it's in the morning. Probably for most of the lives here, that would be in the morning. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. cause me to know the way wherewith I should walk, for I lift up my soul to thee. I will do a new thing, saith the Spirit of grace, a new thing amongst and within and for my children in the day, the hour in which they've entered into. A new thing where I will stir in the compassion. The compassion that I've given them is going to raise to a higher level. The compassion that they have to spend time with me is going to come to a higher level. But the compassion that I want them to operate from and to minister to others with will become a flow and a source that will bring healing, that will bring deliverance, that will bring salvation, that will bring the blessings upon multitudes if they'll allow themselves to flow in my compassion. For when I move with compassion, saith the Lord, I healed them all. When I want you to understand, saith God, I want you to understand not only with your mind, but I want you to understand by the perceptions of your heart that the compassion that you have is the love of God, that is love that will never fail, and that compassion will never fail either. It will be a refreshing presence that will come upon you at times, and you'll be drawn to certain people. Even going through a grocery store, what I see is I see people even going through the busyness of life, all of a sudden they got their agenda, they got their list to do. Are you with me? And all of a sudden things are going to shift, and the compassion of the Lord is going to come upon them, and they're going to be drawn into the presence of someone that has great need. I want you to know, when you move in that compassion, release every ounce of your faith and expect miracles and manifestations of the power of God to flow through your hands, to flow from your voice, and to flow from your actions as you love on them, as you care for them, as you minister to their need. Understand, boldness is going to come upon this house like it's never seen before. The righteous are bold as a lion, and God said you're righteous, and you know you are. You stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, and you know you do. You understand that you're covered by the blood. You understand that you've been chosen for such a time as this. You understand that this is the day and the hour for you to rise and shine. So you come into that place, understand, it's not for just a few of you, it's for every one of you. The flow in the boldness of the lion of the tribe of Judah. And that boldness will give you confidence to minister on behalf of the Lord, because he has said, I've called them to be ambassadors to the nations. I've called them in a sense that they will represent me in levels where others couldn't do, because they don't have the level of the revelation that I've given them through the ministry gifts that I've set in order in this house. Understand that revelation will continue to flow. It'll continue to get higher and deeper and basically even heavier at times. You'll say, wow, I don't know if I can take any more. But understand, if you embrace it and you ask for wisdom to understand what God is saying through the man of God and through the ministry gifts that God places here, the level will rise in your hearts individually, and it'll rise here corporately. And because of that, understand that the spirit of wisdom and revelation to the knowledge of him has been entered into this house to a higher degree, even today, even this morning. And you'll be quickened with it in the night season. Things will become clear. You'll be struggling, and all of a sudden you say, you know what? I got to get away. I got to rest. I got to lay my head down. And all of a sudden there'll be a quickening and an awakening, and you'll know. You'll have the answer. You'll have the discernment, and you'll have the understanding of what you need to do, what you need to say, or the decision you need to make. So don't walk in confusion. Walk in expectation for manifestation of God's presence, of his power, and of his ability to flow in you and through you, because the nations are at stake, saith the Lord.